Well, I figured I'd start a series on health and safety. Someone had asked me over Chol HaMoed my thoughts about going skydiving. So I shared my thoughts in Halacha, Hashkafa. So I figured we'd go through a little bit in general the requirement of protecting one's own health, both the guf and the neshama, and the safety. And then maybe the next few weeks we'll talk about other topics of sakana related to maybe Birchas HaGomel, when you say Birchas HaGomel, when they say Tfilas HaDerech. Someone asked me about kidney donations, an endangered person to do donations and surgeries. Maybe we'll get involved in the sakanas of what not to eat, meat and fish, and mayim megulim, uncovered water. There's a lot to talk about, so I'm going to guess we'll do this over the next 6, 7, 8 weeks or so, various topics related to one's own health. Fine? So let's begin now with the Rambam and Hilchos Deos. We actually, last year we had together, before summer had begun, we were actually talking about the importance of staying healthy and exercising. That was the last year we gave a few months ago. We're going to pick up where we left off, but focus more on protecting one's own self and others from danger. So look at the Rambam here. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Deos number 1, "His whole v'hayos haguf bari v'shalim medarche Hashem." The idea of keeping a person's body healthy and whole and complete is darche Hashem. It's not a physical thing. It's not considered something in related to the Yetzirah of being fit. It's related to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Darach Hashem, to be healthy, to be fit. Sharei, he says, very simply, Yefshar sheyavin, it's impossible to understand, O yada davar midiyas habari v'hu chala. The person's ill, he does not have the mental strength, he does not have the physical strength, he does not have the spiritual strength to understand Hashem, to serve Hashem, to learn his Torah, to do the mitzvahs. It's a requirement. In order for the neshama to be in this world, it has to have a physical body to embody it and to serve Hashem. V'lefikach tzarech laharchik adam atzma, a person needs to distance himself. Midvarim ha-ma'avdin zoguf. You need to separate from things that are going to destroy a person's body, whether that means alcohol or smoking. These are the good topics, and drugs and marijuana. These are all very good topics to talk about. Healthy food, too much sugar, too much caffeine, whatever it is, you have to eat healthy. You have to practice ways of strengthening yourself. That could be exercise, it could be playing sports, it could be the way one eats, how a person conducts himself. He gives a few examples. There's a lot more to talk about, just to get the ball rolling a little bit. The Olam lo yochal adam el kishu raiv, you should only eat when you're hungry. I assume all of you are very hungry this morning. That's why you're eating. Only eat when you're hungry. Vol yishta el kishu tame, only drink when you're thirsty. Val yisha nikavav afil rega echad, if you need to go to the bathroom, you should not wait even a moment for doing so. These are all part of keeping a healthy balance. So that's the Rambam, keeping healthy. Now the Rambam writes in Hilchos Ratzeach, when it comes to the halacha of having to build a makeh, a fence around a roof, so Rambam talks about the halacha in Hilchos Shmiras Rotech v'Shmiras Nefesh in Perek Yudalef. He writes number 2: Echad Hagag v'Echad Kol Davar Sheish Bo Sakana, anything, any roof or any place where there's a danger, v'Roy Sheichasha Bo Adam, and it's very possible that a person could stumble v'Yamos and he could die. He could fall off a rooftop, could go and try a little bit air, or maybe there's a pit or a bore, a well or a pit v'Chatzeir in his courtyard, and someone could fall in and die. Bein sheish ben mayim, bein shein ben mayim, whether there's water, there's no water, these are all dangerous situations. Chayv lasos len chulya gavoa asar tvachim, you need to build a fence, a 10 tvachim high fence around the pit. O lasos lo kisoyer, to put a cover on. Kidei shlo yipol ba'adam v'yama, so a person should chas v'shalom not fall into a pit. These are all requirements. You have to protect your property, people from dying. V'chein kol michshol sheyesh bo sakanos nefashos. Any other type of stumbling block, any other situation where it's going to present a danger, there's a mitzvah sa'aseh lahasir, there's a requirement from the Torah to remove that danger. Uli shamar mimenu, to protect, to safeguard from that danger. Uli zar bedavar yafa yafa, to make it very, very protected and careful, lest the person gets hurt. And he quotes the pasuk shenemar, hishamar lacha ushmor nafshecha, you should protect yourself, you should guard your nefesh. Vimelo hisir, if you don't remove that danger, you leave your rooftop, you leave your well, your pit exposed. V'niach hamichshos, you leave them as is. Mevin lidei sakana, that will lead to a terrible danger. Bito mitzvah aseh, you violated. You mevato the aseh of hishamer lecha, of protecting yourself and others, and you also violated a los aseh, a los asim adamim, not to put a person's life in danger. That's the requirement. So you have to be healthy. You also have to protect yourself, create separations from that which is dangerous. And the Rambam now adds on further, Harbe Devarim Osu Chachamim. There are many things that the Chazal added on, Mipnei Sheish Bam Sakanas Nefashos, that are also dangerous. Just to give a few examples outside, fish and meat is an example of danger. For the Sfaradim, maybe fish and the milk. Mayim Megulim. There's a whole list of things that Chachamim added on that are also dangerous. V'chol ha'over aleim, those who violate these sakanos, ha'reini misakin be'atzmi, he says, I'll endanger myself, it's okay, I'll endanger myself. V'amal l'acher malai b'kach, who cares of others, what do they care? Or ha'eini machbid al-kach, I don't really care about my body, I don't care about my life. So then, such a person who endangers himself, makin oso makis mardas. Fine, so that's the Rambam, very clear how you have to stay away from sakana. There's a discussion, the Achron Rav Asher Weiss talks about this, in Minchas Asher, whether or not this is Din D'Oraisa or Din D'Rabbanan, because the Rambam does quote the pasuk as Shenemar, Hishamar Lecha V'Shamar Nafshecha, but then he says, Asu Chacham Mimen Only Makas Mardus. So he discusses a little bit whether it's D'Oraisa or D'Rabbanan. But the Minchas Chinuch has the following question. Very nice, the Rambam brings a pasuk of Hishamar Lecha V'Shamar Nafshecha, but when he quotes these psukim, if you look inside, the most famous, he doesn't quote this pasuk, "Unishmartim et mod nafsho seichem," that's really the source of protecting a person's body. So the problem is, says the Minchas Chinuch, if you look in the psukim, these psukim actually don't talk about protecting a person from danger. The pasuk of Hishamar lecha u'shmor nafshecha is talking about not to forget learning Torah. Nothing to do with protecting a person's body. And "Unishmartim mod nafsho seichem," if you look in the number 3 here, in Parshat Veschanan, the pasuk says, "Unishmartim me'ol nafsho seichem." You should be very me'ol, very careful with your nefesh. Why? Ki lo ri'isim kol tmuna bayom divar Hashem aleichem b'chori b'toch ha'ish. Because you did not see an image of Hashem. This is not talking about protecting your body from danger. It's talking about don't make an image of Hashem. Don't make idols. Pen tashchisim v'asitzim l'cha peset tmunal peset tmunas kol semel tavnis zachen nekeva, not to make an idol, chas v'shom. So how in the world does Rambam use these psukim of Hishamar lecha, not to forget Torah, and Nishmartim mod nafsho seichem, that you should protect your body from sakana? That's the tzarachin of the Minchas Chinuch. Now Shulchan Aruch also records this halacha. This is the very last simon, by the way. Interesting, there's one simon. The Shulchan Aruch has one more simon than Tur. Tur and Shulchan Aruch normally are parallel. There's one siman that Shulchan Aruch has that the Torah does not have, and that's siman Tav Chav Zayin, which is the last siman of all of Choshen Mishpat, which is this halacha of protecting a person from a bikuach nefesh, which is kanes nefashos. That's the last siman of all of Choshen Mishpat. And Shulchan Aruch pretty much quotes the Rambam, and he writes, number 4, V'chein kol michshol sheyesh bo sakanes nefashos, anything that's dangerous. Mitzvah aseh lahasiro liyishamer mimenu lihizar b'davar yafeh, to remove it, to protect yourself from it very carefully. Shenemar, the Shulchan Aruch also quotes the pasuk, the Rambam quotes, Hishamer lecha u'shmor nafshecha v'mlo hisir v'niyach ha'michsholos ha'mevin lidei sakana mitzvah aseh v'avar b'lo sasim davim. So that's the Shulchan Aruch quoting the Rambam. At the end he says v'avar b'lo sasim davim. So he does quote the lav as well. So there's a bitul aseh and a lo sasim. But again, the question is, where does the Rambam and Shulchan Aruch get this from? That is not the Pasuk Pshat Psukim. So if you look at the Gra, the number 5, the Gra quotes, Perkei, the Brachos. If you look in the 5th Perek of Maseches Brachos, you'll find a source for these Psukim. So what's a Mice? It's a Mice you probably remember from learning this Daf. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis, tells us as follows. Tani Rabban. I'm going to go through a little story here. We had a well-known story in the Gemara. A Mice about Chassid Echad, if you remember, of Yehuda ben Baba. Whenever it says Bechassid Echad, it's Rabbi Yehuda ben Baba, or Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseir, I think it is. Eli is it? So this is a Chassid. Remember we did on Rosh Hashanah, the first night of Rosh Hashanah. The second night of Rosh Hashanah, we spoke about the Chassid Echad who went to the Beis Kvaros. Remember that Maisa? He went to the Beis Kvaros because his wife kicked him out of the house. So this is the same Chassid. So Maisa Bechassid Echad, the Maisa once happened with this Chassid. Shehayah Mispal B'derech, he was traveling, he was davening. And Ba Hegmon Echad, a certain officer came to him. B'nasin Lo Sham, he gave him Sham Aleichem. And the Chassid, Rabbi Yehuda, did not respond back to this officer. He was busy davening Shemoneh Esrei. Himtin lo ad shesayim tefilaso. So the officer waited until Rabbi Yehuda finished his tefillah. And la'achash, see him after he finished his tefillaso. Amar lo, he says, Reka, you empty person, you imbecile. You didn't respond to me, Rabbi Yehuda? V'lo kasid b'taraschem, it says in your pasuk, in your Torah, rak yishomer lecha, u'shmor nafshecha, you need to protect yourself. Ukseva unishmartim me'olan afshar seicham. You need to preserve your nefesh, your body, and your soul. How could you ignore me? Kishinasati l'chashalom, when I gave you a hashalom, a greeting, a shalom aleichem, lama lo echzarti l'sham, why didn't you respond back to me? Im ha'isi chotech rosh, if I cut your head off from Yehuda, beside with a sword, I have no idea, I'm not in charge of that, I don't know. Mi shahaya taveya as dam chamiyadi, if I cut your head off, who's going to protect you? Who's gonna be taveya? Who's gonna be defending you? Amar lo, Yehuda says back to him, himti li ad shefaisa chabedvarm. Please wait, let me appease you, let me explain to you what's going on here. So the officer gave him a few moments to defend himself. Amar lo, Rabbi Huda says to him, Ilu ha'yisi omer l'fnei melech basar v'dam. Let's say you, imagine you're standing in front of the king, a regular king, a basar v'dam. Uba chavercha, your friend comes over, v'nasan l'chasham, he says hello to you. Ha'yisi ma'achshelo, are you going to say hello to the friend when you're standing in front of the king? So Amar lo, the officer was an honest guy. He said, lo, lav, I would not respond. I would pay attention, focus on the king. I would ignore my friend. Now, im ha'isi machzir lo, and what would happen if you said hello to your friend and you turned your back to the king? What would happen then? Ma'yu osin locha, what would the king do to you? Amar lo, ha'yu chot chenes roshi besayf. They'd slice my head up, probably. So Amar lo, so said Rabbi Yehuda to him, halo dvarim kavachom, is this not a kavachom? Is this not logical to say? Uma ata sha'isi omer lefnei melech basar v'dam, in my scenario I gave you, you're standing in front of a human being, just a king. Shayom kan umachar bekever. Today he's alive, tomorrow he'll be dead. He's only human. Kach ani, sha'isi omer lefnei melech malchei melechem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm standing in front of the King of all kings. I'm standing in front of the internal God. Shechai v'kaim, he's alive forever, of course. La'ada olol me'olamim, alachas kama v'kama. How much more so, I should not turn my back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and I should not greet you either. Miyad nispayis osa hegmon. The hegmon, the officer, was appeased. He was satisfied with such a response. The niftar osa chasid lebeisa l'sham. And Yehuda went home safely. So the Gra is pointing to this very Gemara. Although it came from the officer, and the officer seemingly wasn't a Jewish person, so yet he invoked the pasuk of Hishamer lecha ushmor nafshecha, and he invoked the pasuk unishmartim meolin nafsho seichem, that you have to protect yourself, even though it seems out of context. Still, nonetheless, the Gra found that this was the makor for the Rambam, that there's a source in the Torah that a person needs to protect himself from any types of dangers. The Marsha also picks up on this. If you look at the Marsha going on to the second page, the other side of the page, he also raises the question. He says, how could the officer invoke such psukim? He says, "Hai kra b'shichas haTorah kamari." The pasuk of Hishamar is referring to "Don't forget limud haTorah pentishkach ledvarim." And the third parak of Maseches Avos tells us, "Kasha cheyach davar echa b'mishnaso." If you forget something you're learning, kil mischay benafsho, as if a person is committing suicide. Shenemar rak Hishamalecha. Nothing to do with protecting a person's body from any danger. And Chayin, the other pasuk he quotes, "Hai kra unishmartem meolin afsho seichem." Iri shlo namin b'shem tavnis pesul. You should not build idols. So what are these psukim do? Marsha says it must be that based on the Gemara and Shavuos, nonetheless, you could take the psukim out of context, and it can apply to a person protecting himself. It's a source of sakana. Yeah, David.
The rabbi has mentioned nafsho seichem many times. So the question is, what does that mean? Is that a nefesh? Is that a soul? Is that a body and a soul? What is that?
Yeah, so we're not going to go into the various parts, but there's neshama, and there's nefesh, and there's chaya, and there's ruach, and there's yechida. The different parts of the neshama. The nefesh is the lowest part of the soul, which is part of the guf, part of the body. Meaning, we have neshamas as human beings. A behemoth does not have a neshama. Behemoth has a nefesh. A behemoth is a guf. It's a body. It's gashmias. So we refer to the nefesh, referring to the nefesh, the soul, that's most part of the body as possible. And therefore,
but
even though...
it include the body?
It includes the body, yes.
Oh, it does
include the body. Yeah. The chol nafshecha always...
what's the question? Yeah.
No, because the context is talking about a person needs to protect his body from the idols. Protect his body from forgetting Torah, that's the context of the pasuk. But nonetheless, we have many times where the Gemara is able to extract a pasuk, isolate it from the context. But you're right, it's a good point in terms of nefesh, but nefesh here really means the soul that's attached to the body, the most attached to the body.
Why can't you answer that? The reason is because the Rambam says the whole reason you have to stay healthy is because you're not going to be able to be yudeh dav midiyas habayir.
Excellent. So some actually say this. Some say the whole reason why you have to be healthy is in order to learn. So that connects to the pasuk of... don't forget the Torah. How do you not forget the Torah? Very good. By staying healthy, your body healthy. That will preserve the limud. Excellent. That's that one. I forget who, but some explain this. Excellent. So now the question is, so now it's safe to assume, it's clear from the Rambam and from the Shulchan Aruch that we have to do things that are not dangerous. Avoid dangers. So what is a sakana? What's a sakana? I'm guessing the Tepper boys like to go bungee jumping or skydiving. That's my guess. No, they don't? Okay. That's just a guess. Because I'm a bracha to see you guys here this morning, so I figured maybe this was exciting to jump out of planes. But maybe not. But is it like, is it safe to jump out of a plane? Is it safe to, bungee jumping? What is considered sakana? What's not considered sakana?
And how imminent is danger?
Yeah, it's part of defining a sakana. That's what. Yeah, so exactly. In terms of defining sakana, is it immediate? How long distant is it? Is it real? Is it not real? And of course, in weighing danger, also what is the, you know, what's the return? What are you gaining from it? So, the thrill that you get from bungee jumping, the thrill one might get from skydiving, is that worth the sakana? So just one example, I'm going to go through Minchas Asher outside, and then we'll try to define somewhat of what a definition of a sakana is. So look at an example of number 8, Rashi. Rashi, the Gemara in Bava Metzia, is talking about how people used to climb on top of trees to collect olives or to collect fruits as part of their parnasa. Now, it could be very dangerous climbing a tree. So how does a person do that? How could you endanger yourself to climb up a tree?
That's in Brachos, right?
It's a Gemara in Bava Metzia. Oh, Gemara in Brachos is a davening and benching, but the element of being moser nefesh while climbing a tree is a Gemara in Bava Metzia daf tzadi beis. And there, Rashi writes, it says in the pasuk, v'chalta kinafshecha, you should eat like your nefesh. What does it mean you should eat like your nefesh? It doesn't mean you should eat like a glutton. What it means is, says Rashi, it's based on the Gemara, he just explains it, bidavar shata moser nafshecha alav. Now which you are moser nefesh to go to work. Messias nefesh, to go to work. You know, there's a period of time going to New York City is dangerous. It got less dangerous in the past few months, but it was very dangerous the past year and a half. Is it worth going to the city where people with no police are going around, where who knows, people push you into the subways, the people are craziness going on. I will never go on the subway ever again. It's like, it's real danger in my mind, unless things change. There's no police. People just shove people in front of the trains. So how much should a person be moser nefesh for parnasa? So says Rashi, bedover sha'ata moser nafshcha alav, that which you are giving your nefesh up to help support your family. Lalos bekevish, to climb up a ramp. Lalos be'ilan, to climb a tree. Some people, are window cleaners on these huge skyscrapers. That's a dangerous activity. But they need parnasa. They need to make money. So, demos en afshel lemisa, dainu sacher. So, there's a certain element of risk a person is willing to take and sometimes needs to take for parnasa. If a guy is, window cleaning for no purpose at all, let's say, he's not getting paid, he's doing for the thrill, that need is not as much as a parnasa. Parnasa is a need. You need parnasa to live. So you have to be able to balance of the need and the risk factor. So I'm going to go through Rav Asher Weiss now, one of his chuvos, how he gives different examples of balancing between the sakana and the tzorich. Now this is found, those who want to look at inside, is Chelek Gimel of Rav Asher. In Minchas Asher, it's Simen Kuf Chaf Aleph. It's a section, Refuah of Halacha. We'll probably go through a few of these in the next few weeks. He talks about kidney donations. But right now he has a general discussion about the issur of endangering a person's life. And he breaks it up very nicely that we have three basic areas where sakana does come up. And oftentimes we want to be medame milsa milsa. I see Mikey there, I'm sorry about the kidney donations, but okay. We'll have to make sure Shmuley Spergel is healthy and come back for that one as well. And all those, maybe Mr. Weichholz too. We'll get everyone to come together for the kidney donation discussion. But the three basic areas he found that we discuss, what is a sakana? What's a sakana? So, and that's public information, I think. Now it is. So, what's a sakana? So we have one area, what's sakana for pikuach nefesh? A person gets injured, do you call it tzala? What can you do for a person who is in danger on Shabbat? That's one. Another area of sakana is when does a person recite birchas hagomel? A person's traveling, is it only certain situations? When does one say tefillas haderech? These are three different areas of what's considered a sakana. So Rav Asher Weiss says, you cannot learn these three areas from each other. Each area of sakana, the definition of sakana, is different for Shabbos than it is for Tfiyat HaDerech, than it is for Birchas HaGomel, than it is for the Isser to endanger yourself. And he just brings there a few proofs just to make that clear. So he says, with regards to Sakana, so he says that even those who are Machmir, that you only say the Gomel when you go through, passing through a desert or over the water, so does that mean now it's a Sakana, right? When I took a plane, I went from Eretz Yisrael to America, or vice versa. You land, everybody agrees you say HaGomel. Because it's dangerous. Wait a second. How can I go on the plane in the first place? Isn't that dangerous? That's an isser listakin atzmo. I just said, You cannot endanger yourself. So if I say Birchas Hagomel, when I travel overseas, that means I just endanger myself. So there should be no heter to go overseas, because that's a sakana. Obviously nobody says that. So the definition of a sakana for Birchas Hagomel is very different than the sakana of what I'm allowed to or not allowed to do. So I can travel in a plane overseas, that's allowed. That's not an isser of endangering myself, but enough of a sakana to warrant the bracha of Birchas Hagomel. So the definition of sakana is different. So when it comes to the issur to endanger myself, so if let's say I were to take a plane ride just to go around the world, so maybe that would be issur to do, because there was no gain. There's nothing I gained from that. There's no benefit. But if there's a benefit, that gain
that
could over...
risk is the percentage of death on a plane is...
Very
in Hanami, but still, the fact is, we still have the practice of saying Birchas Gomel when traveling overseas. So again, that's he's just proving that the definitions of sakana for a Gomel is different than the Isra Listakim. So again, one has to say, if I'm going to go, is it about percentages? Is that what it is? We'll see at the end how Rav Shlomo Zalman how he defines what's a sakana. It may not be percentages. It might just be traveling in the air 10,000 feet is considered dangerous, even though the percentages are pretty good. That'd be a different element. Exactly. So that could be a different element of is it about what's dangerous or it's a special takana. So we'll do Birchas Hagomel Mi'ut Hashem a different Sunday. Now, another situation he says, what about Shabbos? What's the definition of sakana for Shabbos? So the Ramah writes that it's also for a person to travel by himself at night. It's dangerous. So let's say a guy's traveling by himself on Shabbos, Friday night. You see a guy walking by himself. Should I call the police? It's sakana, right? I should call police. A guy's walking by himself for a Friday night. Certainly not. Meaning the sakana of what's considered dangerous is not necessarily the same for endangering myself as it is for the sakana of Shabbos, what's worthy of being Mechal Shabbos. So all he's pointing out here is there's no good model that exists out there to prove to us what is the sakana for the Isser of endangering one's own self. We have Gomel, we have Shabbos, we have Tfilas HaDerech, and then the separate category, which is our topic of the Isser of being mistaken atma, of endangering one's self. So he gives a few examples of weighing out the gains versus the risks. So let's go through a few examples, and then we'll come back with Rav Shlomo Zalman, how he defines what's considered a sakana. So he writes here, when it comes to, he quotes this Rashi in Bamatir that we just saw. That person is allowed to endanger himself, be moser nefesh for parnasa. Person has no money, has no food, he can't feed his family. So it's certainly allowed a license of endangerment one could involve himself. How far one goes. So he says, well, how much money do you need? If the guy has zero money, he can't feed his family, so then the threshold of what you could do to endanger yourself is even higher. If the only job available is to clean windows in a skyscraper, and he's willing to do that, and he has zero money, maybe he should endanger himself. But let's say the guy is a multi-millionaire. He doesn't need that money. So, going on, washing windows on a skyscraper at the top of Empire State Building, let's say, he doesn't need that money. He's a millionaire. So that would be an unnecessary endangerment of his life. So maybe he shouldn't do that. So you have to weigh out what is the need versus what is the danger. Now, we haven't defined what a danger is just yet, because I don't know what the statistics are of a guy cleaning windows, how often they fall off. Probably not very often. But we'll define that in just a moment, what is considered a danger. Now, he says another example. Baruch Hashem, women get pregnant all the time, and we have children. That itself is dangerous. Women who are pregnant, women who are delivering children, sometimes they die. Sometimes they get very ill. It's very dangerous to give birth. So how do we allow them to do that? So it's very simple, because it's the mitzvah deraisa that says you have to have children. So the mitzvah peruvu overrides the danger of being pregnant and delivering children. Now let's say you have a situation where a woman is told that at her age or at her situation or her condition, it's more dangerous for her to have children. So then you have to weigh out, well, there's a mitzvah peruvu. So how great is the danger? So you have to start, it starts shifting a little bit of how dangerous it is. Now obviously if the doctors say it's incredibly dangerous for her to have children, so then she should not have children anymore. But we have to weigh out the gains, the needs, the tzorech, versus the sakana, the danger at hand.
But she doesn't have a mitzvah, her husband does.
But she obviously she's a necessary part of that, and the Ran writes in the Kedushin that she's Messiah Bedavar Mitzvah. She helps in the mitzvah, obviously, and she's a chelik. She has although she's not required to do so, but she is required to do so. Another topic. Now, he has another fascinating case, which, of course, everything connects back to Corona, unfortunately. This was before, pre-Corona, but he says the following situation. Let's say... where's this case? Hold on a second. Ah, here. The Rama writes in your Dea Simon Kuf Tezai, if there's a magefa in the city, you should run away. Run away. Now, fortunately, there's nowhere to run. Unless you have some private island somewhere, there's nowhere to run. But let's say, you know, one city had a magefa, so you run away somewhere. You should run away. It's dangerous. Now, there's another din that Rama talked about in a tshuva. So let's say I pay rent. I pay rent in my apartment. I have an apartment across the street. I live there. I pay rent. There's a magefa. COVID broke out in Esh Kodesh. COVID broke out in the Five Towns. Let me get out of this place. Let me fly to Phoenix. I'm going to Phoenix to escape COVID. So, hey, some people do that. So I escaped. I went to Phoenix to escape COVID, but I don't want to pay rent anymore because I'm not living in the past year. I've got a good taina. The Rama writes, it's dangerous to live in a place where there's a magefa. So I don't want to pay rent. Do I have a taina? Is that a good taina? Is that a good reason not to pay the landlord? So Rama writes, and Rav Asher explains all this, he says, Rama writes, you have no taina. Even though you ran away, you still have to pay the rent. Why is that the case? The Rama says, if there's a sakana, run for the magefa. I have every head in the world to save my life and save my family. But look what Rav Asher writes. Rav Asher writes as follows. It's proper. It's very important to remove yourself from any danger, to run from a magefa. If you're able to, if a person's single, or if a person, or whatever the situation is, he's easily able to run away, he should do so. It's a sakana. The general rule is, it's very difficult for a human being to pick up his family and kids, to uproot themselves from their home, to find another parnasa. Lazov is based on to leave their house. This makor parnasasam, to leave the source of parnasa. Yoznov and Nardbaritz, okay, very good. Last week's parsha, yesterday's parsha, to just start wandering around, finding a place to live. It's not an easy thing to do. Yes, a person should if he can, but if you can't, Kol Kiyah Gavna says, Rav Asher Weiss, Mutil Adam Listakin Birama Svir Amanas Lolisval Saba Gadol Legalis Makam, even though he says as follows, that a person should distance himself. But it's not easy to do so. And therefore, since most people won't and can't remove themselves from the situation, it's not considered a normal taina, because since most people would not leave the house b'shas magefa, that's not called a good excuse not to pay your rent. Now, you, Baruch Hashem, maybe had the opportunity to do so, but we see from here that although the sakana is a requirement to leave a sakana, it doesn't mean a person actually can and should necessarily leave, and therefore it's about weighing between the sakana versus the gains and other options. He got one more example, he says here, as follows. One of the examples of that which is dangerous is, let's say you have a wall that's tilted, it's bending. So you shouldn't walk underneath the wall because it might fall any second. Let's say you have a ball that went underneath the wall that's tilting. Should you not retrieve the ball? Or you have an animal that, a cat or a dog that's hiding underneath the wall and you want to get it out. Should you not go underneath the wall? It says that the wall's been like that for 15 years. So if there's a need, you want to get your dog, you want to get your cat, you want to get your ball, that's a need. But just to go for the thrill, just to see me go and not fall on top of me, that's ridiculous. That would be reckless to do such a thing. But if there's a certain tzorich, then you'd be allowed to endanger yourself. So these are just various examples of balancing between dangers, the gains versus the risks. And he said, what about cosmetic surgery? Any time a person goes to surgery, there's, by definition, a certain danger. Now, the risk is low, but a person goes under the knife, there's a certain danger. What's the gain? Is it worth the gain, whatever the surgery is for? So you have to balance it out. He says all the time he's given heterim for cosmetic surgery. It's not such a tzorich, but there might be the tzorich is enough to endanger a person.
My nephew is a cosmetic surgeon. He was talking about the nose. Nose jobs are not so easy, and there are a lot of mistakes, and people come back, and they get deviated septums and stuff. If you really look into it, it would be very interesting to see.
Okay, so that could be another topic of cosmetic surgeries overall. Could be a good Sunday morning topic. Maybe we'll get to it.
Unbelievable. It was just over our house and going into the parts of the nose. All right. And the problems that happened.
Okay, so maybe we'll go through it, Mir Tashem.
It sound like it's so, cosmetic.
So
it's
now,
it's cosmetic
okay.
And...
So now one last example before we give the final psak, or not psak, but the final idea. Rav Asher Weiss says, let's say a person, a doctor, now this is very relevant this past year and a half, a doctor says, I don't want to perform any surgery, I don't want to perform anything, I don't want to do anything because of COVID, I don't want to get COVID. So Rav Asher Weiss has this big chiddush. She says, when you pick a job, and your job is to be a doctor, your job is to be a policeman, your job is to be a fireman, which by definition has its dangers, you have no right to walk away from that job. You have a responsibility, even though it means you're endangering yourself. That's the job that you chose. That's the job of HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you. And you have a responsibility, even though there's a danger. So these are just a number of examples whereby there are certain needs that you have to endanger yourself. It's about balancing what's considered the need and what's considered the danger. So that's the overall discussion. Let's go through now. We'll finish with this with Shlomo Zalman. So I'm not going to give the particular examples, but just to keep in mind, you know, Seth and I were talking before about different types of sports, tackle football. You know, growing up, we used to play tackle football. We play tackle football like grabbing the guy's feet and he fall over. Flag football didn't exist. This generation is a little bit softer, I guess. Flag football. We had like real tackle football in the snow. You throw the guy on the floor. But that to me is not so dangerous. But tackle football with helmets and like real, like professional, high school, college football, that's incredibly dangerous. Or what other examples? Skydiving, bungee jumping, skiing. We spoke about skiing. People get very seriously very injured in skiing. So when going through the topics, you have to keep in mind, is the thrill, is the tzarech, is the need really worth the danger? From a halachic standpoint, from a hashkafic standpoint, is it really worth it? Now, is danger considered based on statistics, right? I go through everything. I imagine those window cleaners, the protection that they have, the safety nets that they have, they're probably pretty safe. As scary as it is, flying planes are pretty safe. They're safer than driving cars. So in the end of the day, are these considered dangerous or not? So I'm going to just leave you off with what Shlomo Zalman says. He was talking about pikuach nefesh on Shabbos. We had said before that it might depend. The Shabbos might be different than this sakana. But I'll leave you this last thought. Shlomo Zalman writes, and this is number 10, he writes that, Lenin ikra hadavar, man nikra savik pikuach nefesh malo. What's considered pikuach nefesh, what's not considered pikuach nefesh? V'yad eifa hu agvul, what is the border? What's the boundary? What's the limit? How do you define it? No one gives these definitions. It's hard to know. You require a das Torah to give you examples of this. So Shlomo Zalman's suggestion is as follows. I was very doubtful as what is considered a danger. This is the svar that he suggests. That if most people will run away from this situation, his kabareach mipnei asakana, like running away from danger, that's called safek pikuach nefesh. So I don't know the details. I would imagine that most people would not go skydiving. I think it's a fair assumption. If you Google it quickly, I imagine. Do you think more than 50% of the world would go skydiving? In this room, who would go skydiving?
No.
So my shver and my best friend. Okay. Great. So that too. So two people, that's it. Of the 15 people here, that nowhere near 50%. This maybe is not a good poll. Maybe people go learn Sunday morning. They're not very dangerous people. Maybe those people are jumping out skydiving right now. Who knows? So I don't think 50% of the people of the world would go skydiving. Bungee jumping, I would say the same thing. 50% of the world, I do not think would go bungee jumping. So just using Shlomo Zalman's definitions here, it would not seem that would be considered dangerous. If most people would run away, that's called a sakana.
Are you calling Jews or Gentiles?
It's also a good question.
I can't go on a roller coaster.
So that could be also roller coasters. Most people, roller coasters, I imagine more people would go on than skydiving and bungee jumping.
It's a big one.
But yeah. So it's a good question. I wonder. I would not go on it. But you know, you would have to say by roller coaster. Let's just talk roller coaster for a moment. So you have to have some type of percentage. It has to be relevant. Let's say roller coasters, 100% people. No one ever. Let's imagine no one ever died in a roller coaster. Let's say that was true. And there's nothing dangerous about it. Just a scary or haunted house. Okay, no one dies in a haunted house, I don't think. So, but people are scared. So it could be 50% of people are scared to go into haunted house because these zombies and witches jump out. Would that mean it's dangerous? No, I don't think so. It's not only about scary. There has to be some percentage of death or serious injury. So I don't think roller coasters have that amount, though I did see a few weeks ago someone died. She choked on her own vomit or something from a terrible thing. But it happens, these crazy situations. Those are really off. But I think skydiving by definition is dangerous. Even though percentages might be high, the fact that you have to watch an hour video that said pretty much if you die, that we are off the hook here. When you have to watch a video before doing that or sign a lot of papers, that probably means it's pretty intrinsically dangerous.
When you go jumping in these urban air or whatever, they make you sign all kinds of stuff also.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, but you don't have to watch an hour video of saying how... So it might depend. Again, I don't know the how far you'll go. I'm not giving a psak here. But there is some undefined definition of sakana, whereby for what?
Approximately 4 deaths annually in the United States are associated with roller coasters.
That's very low, very low, very low. Thousands of people, hundreds of thousands of people go roller coasters a year. That's very, very low. So I don't think roller coasters would be considered dangerous, but I would imagine skydiving and bungee jumping and professional football would all be considered dangerous, and therefore we could leave off with that definition. So there no, I don't have exact details and examples of psak halach of all the areas, but something to think about to consider, what is the gain versus the risk? Okay, we'll stop here. Next week we'll continue on something along the topics of safety and health.